We give you praise and glory, O God, and we pray that your good spirit of truth will guide us, Lord, that we may know you and the power of your resurrection. Praise and glory be given unto you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We try to prepare some deck, some few slides, but I've been told that they're not of a good quality. They are too small. So I don't think there will be any helpful, but we still see them. The good news is that you can request them if you want. You know, whenever I say to people, request document, people don't request. So I keep them, I archive them myself, because people never come to me and say, oh, I want that teaching. You know, we've written quite a lot of stuff. I say, it doesn't matter, I will put them in a book. Next generation will read them. They are for you. We labor for you. You know, what do you do? How do you feed yourself? You know, you read yourself. That's good. But God has given ministries for the equipping of the saints. That's why we're doing these things. In olden time, people did not have this privilege. Sorry, very small, but that's fine. In the olden time, people had to travel miles to write themselves and cherish that and memorize scripture so that they can share themselves. It's been said that when people were forbidden to read Bibles and Bible were being burned, it's been said that in some part of the world, believers were able to gather themselves and reproduce about a third of the New Testament from their heart, from their memory. The biblical salvation, oh yes, it's very small, but that's fine. The biblical salvation. Now, I don't need that just yet. I don't need that. The biblical salvation. It seems a tautology, isn't it? Salvation is deemed to be biblical. It's really biblical salvation versus false hope. That's why we want to understand salvation in the context of the Bible, because outside the Bible, there's no salvation. There's no salvation in religions. It's really salvation versus religions. It's really faith in God versus work, false promise. Let's start our first reading. We do quite a few readings today. Maybe this will take us two sessions, maybe two teachings. Maybe let's see how it goes. First reading, Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter 16. And we're reading from verse 27. Now, try to be active with your Bible. It will help you not to sleep. Otherwise, you will start sleeping straight away. Well, I know there was a very wise remark that has been said, because these things are being recorded, and I keep on saying here, don't sleep. So people going online and looking our sermon, we say, oh, what kind of church is that? They sleep all the time. Well, my comment to that is, I think they're rejoicing. They say, oh, we're not alone. From my experience, it happens everywhere, all the time. And people have different techniques. You see the Bible on the lap, they do like this, they sleep. I know all that. Do you know why? Because we are not disciplined to keep quiet and to keep just silence before God. Because we want to do things, you know, singing, doing things. We can't just keep quiet and listen. That's why it happens like that. If we exercise ourselves to be able to take our Bible quietly and read the Bible, we won't have any problem for 45 minutes. But because we're too busy, we want to do things. That's why it happened. I won't name and shame. You just look around. Be the guardian of your brother and sister. We're getting there. Okay. You are allowed to stand up and stretch yourself a little bit. Go on the back and come back just to fight against sleepiness. Acts 16. verse 27 to 34. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm. We're all here." Verse 29. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Verse 30. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." So, verse 30 to 31. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Can you see already where we're going with this? Can you see already the jailer's understanding of salvation? What must I do to be saved? The answer: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your family. Now, those who advocate what is now known as pedo-baptism, baptism of children, they say, you see, the whole house was baptized. There must have been, you know, children, cats, rats, and all that. The whole house. Because that's what we call Christian house, isn't it? They were all baptized, you know, and the rabbit and everything is Christian. Let's read on from verse 31 again. So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Verse 32. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the household. I really doubt that the mouse were part of this conversation, and the rabbit and the dog. No, they were talking to people, human beings. That's what it means. Believe on the Lord and you will be saved, you and your household. Salvation is not automatic. It's not genetically transmissible, as some Calvinists say. If you are a Christian, your children are automatically Christian. That is heresy. Now, you may be provoked and say, "Gee, don't you know those scholars, Calvinists? Who are you? They've written a lot of books." Well, that's not my problem. If it's false, it's false. Believe on the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. Then they announced the word of God to them. They received the word. The whole household on that day received the word of God. They were saved. And they were baptized. Whoever says it, I'm not intimidated about that. Everybody can just be saved themselves out of their own will, their own strength. You know, because I'm a Christian, therefore all my children automatically. It doesn't work like that. You know, there was a time where Moses revealed something to the Israelites. Because up to some point, he was always, "Oh, we are being punished because of what our father did." One day Moses said, "No, no. A father will not be punished for the sins of the son and vice versa. The soul that sin will die." Well, you have to come yourself. It doesn't matter who your father, your mother, your great-grandparent were. You have to come yourself and confess yourself and repent before God and receive Christ for yourself. Remember, we're talking about the biblical salvation. So, what happened then after verse 32, 33? And he took, that's the jailer, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Immediately, he and all his family were baptized. Then what? Verse 34. Now, when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. They all believed in God, received the word. It's not random. It's not genetically transmissible. Now, as much as I want to see all my children and all of you in heaven, well, the best pastor can make anybody a Christian. Your wife cannot make you a Christian. Your husband cannot make you a Christian. Your children cannot make you a child. Your parent cannot make you a Christian. It's both hard and difficult, because it's the working of God, as we shall see. Church membership can disappoint you. All your service, we call it ministry, could disappoint you if you are not saved. Well, accompanying your children, your parent, your wife, you know, faking your spouse, and all those kind of things will not save you. On that day, things will become very clear. Salvation belongs to our God. Well, we're talking about very serious stuff here. Well, I'm not here to give you false hope. I'm here to tell you things as they are before it's too late. Well, you might say to me, I've heard that. Thank you very much, you've heard that. But I'm reminding you again today so that you make peace with God. You be reconciled with God. Many people have attended churches. They are affiliated to churches, but they are not saved. That's a very dangerous position to be in. One must be saved, says the Master. You must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. When you see feeling good about yourself, I'm a good person, we shall see that again. You see, I'm still pushing things, we shall see. It may end up being 5 sessions. So, simple. Sir, what must I do to be saved? Notice, do. Action. Now, you must do nothing. We must believe on the Lord, because he's done everything. It's been said that in every world, religion is doing, doing, doing. When it comes to Christianity, it's done. Question. What must I do to be saved? The answer: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Now the issue. The issue here is doing versus believing. It's performing versus trusting. You see, we live in a deserving world, performing world. Everybody wants to convince themselves that they can contribute. They can contribute. You know, some people are put off by Christianity. They don't want to hear anything about Christianity because it's too simplistic. You know, they want achievement. You know, they want to feel that I can pray 5 times. I can fast, you know, 1,000 days. I can do this, you know, to gain salvation. Christianity is too simple. Plus, unimportant people like me can stand there talking about it. You know, they're not doctors, they're not PhD in theology, they know nothing, they can't even speak proper English. No, that I can't take. God has chosen simple things to confound the wise of this world. Everybody comes on the same term. Everybody. That's how simple it is. Can be complicated for the sophisticated people. The kingdom of God is for the poor in spirit, the humble before God, those who desperately need a savior. It's religion versus salvation. It works versus faith. It's belief or trust. You might have heard me saying this before, that more than atheism, religion will send more people to hell because of false hope. False hope. It's been said that about 77 or 90% of people, world population, identify themselves with some form of religion. What? Every religion claiming to have the truth. Oh, that's a problem. They can't all have a truth. The truth? No. Why? Well, since they contradict each other, they can't be all true. It's not possible. You know, they say God has a son. This one say God has no son. This one say it is appointed unto man to die once, after this the judgment. This one say, oh no, there is a purgatory. They can't all be true. They say there's only one way to heaven, Jesus. This one say, oh no, you know, you can use this big figure, you can go to the, etc. You know, they say there's only one God. That one say, no, there's millions of gods. So, they can't all be true. They can't all be true. They could all be wrong. That's a better option than the other one. It's more plausible that they could be wrong than they could all be true. Because they can contradict themselves in falsehood, but they cannot contradict themselves and be true. What is left then? What is left is to step back and examine the claim and check against what evidence we have. Because the evidence is available to everybody. It's the same evidence. No one is fabricating new evidence. You see, what makes religion in this world is the attempted answer to the big issues of the society. Things such as death, afterlife. So every religion attempts to bring an answer to that. So that's what people believe. Therefore, they need to be examined against the claim they're making. Do you understand how we get to the truth? So they claim this, they claim this, they claim this. One say, okay, that's fine. No, you go through a cycle of karma and reincarnation, birth, rebirth, birth, rebirth, birth, rebirth, until you go to a nirvana, you become perfect. And then one say, yeah, you're doing the same, but you can break that cycle. And then you go here, this one go, no, you can't break it. And then, you know, Hinduism and Buddhism, they contradict each other. Then you get Islam say, oh, everybody will die. There will be something called the judgment day. Everybody, when they die, they're going to wait until the judgment day. And when they come back, there will be a system of waiting the good and the bad, etc. If your good outweighs the bad, then you go to, etc., etc. Then you get Judaism. Oh, there is there's no resurrection. Oh, there is resurrection. Oh, no. Okay, you believe what you want. Okay, I believe there is resurrection. I believe there is no resurrection. Okay, you believe what you want. Yet Daniel in the Bible says, those who sleep in the dust will rise. Job, all of them, foretold and prophesied resurrection. Then you get Christianity. You see, when I say Christianity, I think I will come up with a new word. Because when I say Christianity, I'm talking about the biblical faith. So I don't want to associate Christianity with world religion. So I'm trying to find a word that will help to talk about false Christianity. I think I can borrow from French, Christianisme. You see, I don't want the word Christianisme in French. I like chrétienté, because chrétienté is like Christianity. You know, whenever they talk about that ism, Christianity, Christianisme, now I'm satisfied, that's false. Well, if I can just use that in English, the Christianism, then you will understand I'm not talking about Christianity. Yes. Yes, let's talk about Christendom, because Christendom, that's another one. Thank you very much. Christendom, that's the one. You know, in the Roman Empire, you know, everybody's a Christian, you know, everybody, it's cultural Christianity. Yes, that's the word. Christendom. That's the word. Thank you very much. We can talk about Christendom. So if I talk about Christianity, why may God give you discernment, because it's so tricky. In my mind, Christianity is the truth. But when I associate Christianity with the world religion, I'm not comfortable with that, but I don't know how to get around that. Because part of Christianity itself is in the business as well of ecumenism. See what we can get out of that. So, what is religion then? Human beings' relation to that which they regard as holy, sacred, absolute, spiritual, divine, or worthy of special reverence. It is also commonly regarded as consisting of the way people deal with ultimate concern about their life and their faith after death. You see, that's what makes religion. Have you noticed? It's what people regard. So the people themselves define what they want to worship. They define themselves the principle they want to accept, which led people like Richard Dawkins to say, oh, there's no such thing as absolute truth, because every part in the world, people have come together and they've said, okay, let's put some principle together which works for us. Well, that's exactly what religion is. But Christianity is nothing near that. The word of God came from heaven, given, written by the finger of God. It wasn't clever people sitting there and say X, Y, Z and fabricating clever tricks. No. It's the word of God. And the day the word of God came, it was a day to remember. He's been saying that even an animal could not approach the mountain. People were so scared. The word of God came on earth. That is the origin of Christianity. And the Bible. Well, don't get embarrassed. If someone say you believe in the Bible, I don't believe it. Don't make the Bible the truth because we believe in it. Even if we don't believe in it, it's the truth of God. I think it's much reliable than telling people that, you know, someone was hiding in a cave somewhere and then an angel came and gave them a book and start writing, etc. You get all sort of things. Charles Russell's, you know, with the Jehovah Witnesses. Then, you know, you have, what's the other one? Joseph Smith with the Mormons there, you know. And then you have Muhammad there. Everybody claiming to have... No. Jesus Christ did not come with a new Bible. He said, I have come to fulfill. Everything he said was foretold. It was about him and he came to fulfill. He did not write a book. He did not come to start a new religion. Remember. remember in some of the Calvinistic version of the Bible, when they quote Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of faith, they say Jesus is the founder of the faith. Oh, I thought author is more accurate. Check it out yourself. In some version of the Bible, you find he's the founder, reducing him at the level of just someone who started the faith as well, etc. But that's a different matter. Where are we? James chapter 1 verse 27 defines religion as the action of visiting orphans and widows in their trouble and of keeping oneself unspotted from the world. You see? Praise the Lord for that. James 1:27. He said the pure religion before God is to visit the orphans, is to visit. It's not salvation. Even the Bible itself defines religion. It's doing things. By the work of the flesh of the law, no one will be saved. They are nice things in the sight of God. You know, charity work, helping the poor, all those things are fine. Approved of God, they are fine. But no one will be saved because of that. From old French or from Latin, religion means obligation, bond, reverence. Based on the Latin word religare, religion means bind, bond, being bound, the idea of slavery. Those who are following religion are trapped into bondage. Some of them make an oath. Some of them make vows, just like in Freemasonry. All those things are destined to bind you. And you're very, very, very scared because they make you, you know, threat. You know, in Freemasonry, at a certain degree, we say to you to say, you know, make an oath. You know, if I betray, if I leave, you know, my heart will be open, in the open, and given to the bird of the earth to eat you, etc. So scared because of the vow they've done, in particular on lower degrees, etc. They get so scared. That is forbidden by God. The Lord doesn't want us to be involved in those things. We have to be careful. Religion won't save anybody. I know some of you might be thinking, oh, he's saying Freemasonry. But I know they can kill people. I know they're so powerful. I know they can do. The Bible says the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Now, world religions. World religion. Yeah, can you put that slide? I don't think it would be any helpful, but try. Okay. Now, the world religions. There are an estimated 10,000 distinct religions worldwide. Though nearly all of them have regionally based relatively small followings. Okay. But four religions, Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism, account for over 77% of the world population. And 92% of the world either follows one of those four religions or identifies as non-religious, meaning that the remaining 9,000 plus faith account for only 8%. 8%. So those four religions, those four ones, yes, so those main four ones have about 92% of the world population. Can you see the despair? Can you see the problem? And then you have 8% with the rest qualifying themselves, identify as non-religious. I don't know what is not religion, really. atheism is a religion, is a belief. An atheist believes that there is no God. It's a belief. Okay, let's try the other one, see if we can get anything. Let's try the next one. Now, those religions, that's much better. Those religions, you see that? Interfaith dialogue. You see those signs there? Those are signs of world religion. There is something called interfaith dialogues, which is said to refer to cooperative, constructive, and positive interaction between people of different religious tradition, that is faith, and or spiritual or humanistic belief at both the individual and institutional levels. Now, the former Prime Minister, Tony Blair, preferred spirituality over faith. He started his charity, I think it's called TBI, Tony Blair Initiative, you know, to promote spirituality. Let's leave faith. Let's just talk about spirituality. Now, the interfaith dialogue there, you see that picture there? They come together and say, we can bring all the religions together to do what you see there. Nothing to do with salvation. It's all positive, night, bring peace, help community. Christianity is about salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, if we say, okay, let's come together, let's be tolerant, you know, with one another, okay? And if you join that group there, and you say, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. The group will say, no. No. So, what's the tolerance there? What should we tolerate then? Because I bring to the table my religion, and I say, Jesus is the only way to God. And you say that's not possible. There are millions way to God. So what do we do then? Can you see the problem with that? It will always be Christianity that will give away. Because you see, Christians want to please. Christians think we are safe. Therefore, we can make a small provision to please other people. Because we are safe. We're not. You remember in the book of Revelation, the prostitute, the great prostitute, she says, I am not a widow. You know, because she posed for the bride of Christ. I'm not a widow. But she was false. She's not the true bride of Christ. That's bringing everybody together and sitting on many waters in order to bring the whole world under the reign and the dominion of the Antichrist through one world religion that will be introduced and led by the Antichrist. What does the Bible say? In Revelation 18 verse 4, come out of her, you my people. Come out of her. You know, in the name of niceness, you know, being good. And you see, this idea about community, the church is not community. The church is for salvation. We have to be very clear on that. You know, there was a time where we sat in one church and people came up with an idea, you know, I was part of the leadership, and say, oh, can we make a barbecue so that we can invite the community? And I said, but we have bring and share lunch, we do here after the service. You invite them, they hear the gospel, we go. Why do you want something special for the community? You see, that's how the church is being compromised. You know, all those ideas seem good, but they are weakening the church. There's something, yes, that's the one. Ecumenism. Now, compared to interfaith dialogue, which is inter-religion with different religion, this one here is inside Christianity. This is say, okay, also called interdenominational, is the concept and principle that Christians belong to different Christian denominations should work together to develop closer relationship among the churches and promote Christian unity. Who maintains Christian unity? The Holy Spirit. Maintains Christian unity by the truth of God. The truth of God is the unifying factor maintained by the Holy Spirit. Well, you can't fabricate Christian unity. No. You can do some union, you know? You take a little bit there, take a little bit there, it makes you feel nice. That's not Christian unity. We are united by the truth of Jesus Christ, maintained by the Holy Spirit and the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. Let you as a near hear what the Spirit is telling the church. That's the unity we're talking about. With one person, Christ Jesus, being the head overall, not the Pope. So many Christians believe that all these dialogues are designed to bring about a one-world religion that will ultimately serve the Antichrist. You see, I found that world religions have at least two things in common, all of them. One, they all teach salvation by work and allegiance to the movement. Secondly, they all have an earthly headquarter, all of them. Our headquarter is in heaven, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. That's our headquarter. He will come and receive us and take us there. And then we will be with him forever. But all the world religion, they have earthly human headquarters who write and state set principles, punishment, discipline, fear, intimidation, etc. And they are quite wealthy, very, very rich. I don't know if you heard in the news about 4 days ago, something that was spoken of on the BBC about the Church of England apologizing. Have you heard that recently? Yeah? What was the problem? Slavery. The church apologizing for slavery because the Church of England had funding a company that was in the business of slavery, and they're now being asked to repair that by investing billions to repair the Church of Jesus Christ involved in slavery. You know, it brings tears and anger. And those are the ones telling us what to do. How is that possible? The church involved in slavery of the people made in God's own image. And now it's the unbelievers in the BBC who are reporting on that. And the church is sorry, sorry, sorry. Well, these things are very serious. Christ is being betrayed. Have you noticed there? The first slide would say individuals and groups. So apostasy, heresy on an individual level, but also on a global level to draw us away from the truth of God. This is high time. It's Christ or perdition. Oh, there's a little something else there. not quite important, but it would be good to have it. Do we have the next one there? Oh, there we are. Church is together. Church is together. That's the logo. You don't see that, but that little thing where the cross is a boat. It's like a boat. And that was used at the church, World Church Council, in 1948 already. Church together. Let's come together. You know, let's forget what divides us, you know, divide us, and let's focus on what unites us and because of Christ and the community. But they've made real progress in building, in strengthening ecumenism. In the year 2005, I used to have a lot of reading. You know, they were quite strong in London here, you know, in gathering church and church. Well, yeah, it's unity. But they had a different agenda. Offering false hope to people. Well, then there's something else called new religious movement. I did not know about this one. I knew about New Age, but not new religious movement, NRM. New religious movement. What is that? New religious movement, not to be confused with the New Age movement, also known as alternative spirituality. It's a new movement. You see, it's all about spirituality. You see, because you know, New Age became a bit confusing and scary for people, so they needed to find a bridge with Christianity, and they come up with this new movement. Now, this new movement here, it says to accommodate with the community where they live. So they look at the need in a nation, in a country, they look at the need, and they come with a response, but it's spirituality, to accommodate that. Therefore, weakening traditional Christianity. And then you have Christians who look at that and say, yeah, that makes sense. And they become divided between the two. And they're telling us to move from our ground, security, and to move that way. Dear brethren, the battle is on. Inside, out of the church. You go to Klingon, you need determination, as Twila Parry said. This is time for faith and determination. You know, people have different agendas in church, you know. People are not interested in the word of God. Everybody has his own idea, agenda. No, the word of God does not interest anybody anymore, but everybody wants things to be done this way. No, it has to be done God's way. People are not satisfied with the word of God. Have you seen what the jailer did? The prisoner was glad after receiving the word of God. That's classic process in the book of Acts 2. They who gladly receive the word of God, they gladly. Some people become just sad, almost enemies of the word of God. So, the new religious movement is also known as alternative spirituality or a new religion. It's a religious or spiritual group that has modern origins and is peripheral to its society's dominant religious culture. Oh, you see? So, they look at the society, part of the society, they look, what is the dominant religion there? Oh, but that's too old. We need to come up with some renovation, some new thing. And they pick in what the culture believe, but they put the core belief of what they have as the agenda, and they impose on people. And people say, yeah, it's still Christianity. Yeah, it's good, etc. Remember what I told you? You take rotten milk. Rather than saying it's rotten milk, you say, oh, it tastes like yogurt. And then it becomes even bad and strong and hard. You say, oh, it's like cheese. The Bible said, desire pure milk like a newborn babe. No, it's getting rotten. You're giving it a name and enjoying yourself. It's cheese, it's yogurt, it's this. No, eat bad milk. Le lait frais latte in French. Got to be very careful. You will see that in all this world religion, the name of Christ appears. Sometimes with different names. Do you know why? Because of the prestige of the name of Jesus. Because Jesus is reassuring, is the truth. So by adding him as one of the gurus, the avatar, the great philosopher, he gives people some, it's less scary. But Paul say, all I want to hear from you is Christ, the crucified. That's not Christ, the crucified. In Islam, you have someone called Isa, but that's not Christ. Because they say Christ has no son. You see, in Matthew chapter 26, don't turn to it, quote it for you. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 63 to 64, the high priest asked Jesus Christ, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said, it is as you said. I am the Son of God. Now, Islam said God has no son. But Christ himself said, I am the Son of God. So who should we trust? In the name of unity and tolerance? And are we going to sacrifice the truth to please people? Christ himself said, I am the Son of God. Are we going to betray the truth? In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, did Jesus say, oh no, Peter, that's too much for me. Oh, Peter, you know, that's too much. Oh, Simon bar Jonah, Simon, son of Jonah. It's not flesh or blood that has revealed that to you. My Father in heaven. God bearing witness to his son. The same happened at the time of his baptism. At the transfiguration, Jesus did not come with empty claim. There was witness from heaven, from his father. He came from heaven. In his discourse with Pontius Pilate, a very bright man, Pontius Pilate, he asked Jesus Christ, so are you a king? Jesus said, I am a king. And then he said, for this purpose, I was born and I came into this world to bear witness to the truth. Huh. For this purpose, I was still searching for the truth. I'm searching for the truth. You know, you've seen Christianity come for 10 years and then they've gone somewhere else. I'm still looking for the truth. Jesus said, I have come to bear witness to the truth. Well, the Buddha says he's the way. How do we test that? If Buddha knew where he was going and his followers, how do we confirm that? How do we know? You know, we've been taught that, you know, he reached the nirvana, the perfection. How do we know? Where is evidence for that? We do not believe in reincarnation. We believe in resurrection. Now Christ died and rose again. And the Bible says, if that is not true, then our faith is vain, futile. But we know that he rose again. Evidence is everywhere. Everywhere. You have a before Christ, after Christ. Die. No serious thinker Or intellectual can deny that? No. Why? Because this here, the first one was instituted by Christ himself. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. And then Paul explained in 1 Corinthians that what we're doing now, we are remembering the day on which the Lord was betrayed. That's why we do this. What about baptism? We are baptized in Christ and raised with him because he died and rose again. What about our sanctification, newness of life? The Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in flesh. So the newness of life we're having is in the power of resurrection. He said, if I go, I will send a helper, the Holy Spirit. Because he died, rose again, went, sent the Holy Spirit. So we live in the power of his resurrection. Those are evidence. I think we're going to stop there. Well, as I predicted, it's going to take us another 3 sessions. It was meant to be just for today, but unlikely. 5 pages for one day is a lot. But the Lord will help us. Thank you very much for your patience. We bless the Lord. I know you want to continue. I can see your face. You want to continue because you love Christ. I can see that. But God will give us another opportunity. Let's pray. Lord, we bless you for your words, the gospel that saves us. We bring all the glory to you. We continue to commit our souls, our spirit, our heart, our lives unto your hands, because God is faithful. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Bless each soul. Bless each spirit. Bless each life. And Lord, we pray, if anyone has not made peace with you, may Lord, you take these things, Lord, transform them, Lord, into a living reality in their hearts, that they may respond to you by receiving you as their Lord and Savior, that they will be saved and delivered, Lord, from the wrath to come. We give you all the glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.